the Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looks so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling through the 4 o'clock happy hour. And we got an eagerly anticipated guest, just fashionably late to the party. She'll be on board momentarily. She is Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. And you know, if there's someone I want in my corner.
Oh, yes.
It's Maggie Dawn.
Maggie, in all ways, yes, absolutely.
So she'll be joining us momentarily. Maggie Dawn, can you hear us?
I can. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, welcome Maggie, to the party, pal.
It's good to see you both.
Hey, let me tell you about a little field trip I took to the Wisconsin State Capitol today. And former Sheriff David Clark Jr. was there, and he was advocating for what exactly? I'm not sure. Cyber ninja, cyber audits. Gableman's version, not good enough. Robin Voss, LeMahieu, and Kapinga were certainly in the targets of the people that attended. And I counted roughly 75, Maggie. And then they charged the mound. Then they went to Robin Voss's office. Then they went to LeMahieu's office. Then they went to Kapinga's office. Maggie, what do you think of this sort of activity? All in all, I mean, it seems like a good use of a Friday afternoon, don't you think?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Why not go harass some state legislators? I don't know, the words clown show come to mind. How about all hat, no cattle? I don't know. Take your descriptor for what is clearly a circus. And now they're going to start harassing, you know, the beast is going to start eating itself. They're going to harass their own.
Well, here's the interesting part, Maggie. Sorry to interrupt you. Janelle Branchen was sitting there, the assembly, elections committee chairperson, and she was the one issuing invalid subpoenas to Milwaukee County and to Brown County. And I saw you recently quoted in the paper on behalf of Milwaukee County. And what'd you tell Branchen?
Very nicely. Thank you. We've received your subpoena. It's void. We will not be responding. And oh, by the way, Ron Johnson even says there was no shenanigans with the election. And I pointed out in the communication that at the conclusion of Gableman's, whatever it is that he's doing, I don't know what it is, an audit of a recount, whatever, that the Milwaukee County elections in November 2020 will have been subject to seven different levels and forms of review. It's time to stop the big lie. There is actual governing that needs to be done. We have real problems. And it would be nice if our legislators started spending more time focusing on those sorts of real problems, as opposed to simply raising their own profile with the big lie.
Well, Maggie, all that wishful thinking you're putting forth, legislation, governance, Here was the big issue. Sheriff Clark, former Sheriff Clark, says Gableman's not qualified to do a forensic audit and effectively said part of Gableman's contract doesn't require any public report. The only report that's supposed to come out of this is a report to Robin Voss. And I found it quite refreshing, for all the wrong reasons, but I found it quite refreshing that Sheriff Clark would call out Voss for the corruption of this intent. I mean, the fact that there will not be a transparent public report, regardless of what sort of chicanery they find. I mean, Maggie, I found myself nodding along and agreeing with Sheriff David A. Clark Jr.
Well, there's two things that he got right, Mike, right? The first is that Gableman has no idea what he's doing. He's woefully underqualified to lead this sort of thing. Absolutely. Because, you know, when I have technical issues, you know, with my computer or something, what I find is like a good 70-plus-year-old white guy to help me out with those technical issues. So, of course, if we're going to do like, you know, a computer-based audited review of our voting systems, that's the guy you pick, clearly. And the second thing that Clark got right, I agree, is that there's no part of what Gableman is doing that is appropriately subject to public oversight and review. I'm immediately drawn to questions about open records, open meetings. He is acting at the behest and direction of, you know, an elected branch of government. It's about our most fundamental democratic processes. Why isn't the whole thing not subject to public oversight, just like recounts are? You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. Recounts are audits, but they're audits with rules and laws that ensure the public can oversee that recount process. It is for that reason, as they say, sunshine cures corruption. That's what we need more of in this process, instead of more backroom dealing and private reports being issued to Speaker Voss. Shameful. And you know, as you pointed out, Mike, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. The blind squirrel here being Sheriff Clark.
Former Sheriff David A. Clark, Maggie Dawn, current Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, friend of ours and an attorney. We appreciate it. Maggie, I generally, of course, I'm down with transparency and all those kinds of things, and whatever is available should be out in public. But I also, you know, compare it to like a grand jury. If someone, you know, you give testimony in a grand jury, they end up not indicting, that information doesn't, you know, flow out to the public. Is that a proper comparison?
I would respectfully submit this isn't a criminal probe, right? And there's a reason that grand jury proceedings are kept private if there's if the grand jury fails to indict. And that's basically because we recognize that there can be reputational costs here to people in that sort of a process. Here, the opposite is true, right? And that is without transparency of this process, the reputation of our electoral systems is what's going to be dragged under the bus. That's the reputational cost. And so in this instance, when we're looking at election processes, there has to be some kind of public transparency and accountability. Otherwise, we end up in this post-factual world where the big lie can simply be perpetuated in perpetuity. How about that? Perpetuated in perpetuity.
That sounds like a long time.
That's right. A very long time. So, yeah, same logic, but it gets you to a different outcome when you're looking at election reviews.
Maggie, last time we spoke, the state of Texas just laid down their 6-week abortion law. We've seen some activity since then. The Justice Department has come out, Merrick Garland announcing they're going to sue. I know this is a passion of yours, Maggie. I want to get your take on what you think of the current events since we last spoke.
Yeah, so I actually found the complaint that the Department of Justice filed. So it's the United States of America versus Texas. It's case number 21-CV-796 in the Western District of Texas. It's a pretty interesting lawsuit. And in effect, they assert that there is injury to the United States as a sovereign nation because the bill from Texas makes it impossible under the Supreme Court's rule for federal court oversight or intervention to enforce federal constitutional protections. And given that the President of the United States swears an oath to faithfully execute the laws, and he does that by and through the Attorney General, we have a real problem here. And again, this is such, and even the portions of the Supreme Court that declined to hear the case acknowledged that it was this novel procedural posture of that case. But it's exactly that novelty that the Department of Justice uses as the basis for the suit, that because the way that this bill in Texas was crafted that protects it from federal review in that first or more direct instance, that is in effect what gives the United States standing or gives the United States the ability to now sue the state of Texas and step into the shoes of the women of Texas to help protect that federally constitutionally guaranteed right under the 14th Amendment. There are also some very interesting allegations related to interstate commerce. Right. Well, OK, abortion is now effectively illegal in Texas. Women are going to have to travel. That impacts interstate commerce. So there's an interesting hook there as well. And then one of the last and probably most fascinating portions of this lawsuit, which is a little wonky, is that effectively they assert that under the Supremacy Clause, most intuitively, obviously, Roe v. Wade has to be upheld and can't be undermined by a state, by a state's laws. But beyond that, what they end up saying also under the Supremacy Clause is that Texas's bill effectively impedes federal agencies who are required under federal law to be able to provide pregnancy-related care, including abortion. And they list out those agencies. It's the Job Corps, it's the Office of Refugee Resettlement, the Bureau of Prisons, the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, and the Department of Defense. So really interesting, kind of wonky lawsuit. They filed it in the Western District, which is the district that includes Austin. It's known to be a bit more liberal. And we'll see what the federal court does with this. But that's one to keep an eye on, because they are asking for an emergency injunction, in fact, to again, prevent Texas from operationalizing or again, keeping that law in effect in Texas. So very wonky, very interesting. And again, something to keep your eye on.
Maggie, my understanding, I think it was Texas Planned Parenthood filed a temporary restraining order and it was accepted. What does that mean practically for people who may be in need of abortive services in Texas right now?
Again, given that the bill was permitted to take effect by the Supreme Court, if you are later than 6 weeks after your last menstrual cycle, you are probably not going to be able to find a provider in Texas to give you that service. And immediately, and even in the Supreme Court's decision that was issued the day after the law took effect, where the dissenters pointed out the absurdity of the majority's conclusion that they can't yet hear this case, they pointed out that immediately, within the first 24 hours of that bill taking effect, that the demand for abortion in surrounding states, including Oklahoma and others, had skyrocketed in the first 24 hours. That tells you about the imminent and very real harm that women across the state of Texas are facing every day now.
Maggie Dawn, our fine guest, she is Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. Maggie, the President of the United States rolled out some executive orders in what is being described as a vaccine mandate and said, if you Republican governors want to sue me, have at it. Maggie, love the action, love the attitude. Legally, is he on solid ground, the president?
Well, that'll be an interesting one, won't it? You know those lawsuits are coming. In the question of executive authority during periods of emergency, it is frankly a murky one. But I think Howard Stern, and I'm shocked that I'm actually quoting Howard Stern, pretty much got it right this week, yeah. Which was, we basically now have to tell the dummies what to do. Anything that helps us do that is where we need to be, because yes, you have a right to choose, but maybe that means you don't have a job. That's a consequence for a choice. And I also have a right to keep breathing and not bear the outsized negative costs of your stupidity. So really happy to see the action. I think this is a case that is likely to end up unfavorably before the Supreme Court for the president. But again, it's really about creating the momentum. So again, this will be fascinating to watch.
Do you there was one announced. Will it be stayed? Sorry, go ahead, Mike. Will it be stayed before the eventually it winds its way up to the Supreme Court, Maggie, do you think? Or will the vaccine mandates, I mean, can he mandate them now and sort it out later in the courts?
Hard to tell. Again, in before the Supreme Court did this little trick, I would have thought, well, it'll definitely be stayed. But who knows what we've got here? And I think it's going to depend particularly on the specific judges and appeals courts that hear the cases. And that you'll look to who appointed those judges to likely predict the outcomes fairly reliably in that circumstance.
Maggie Dawn, she is Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, our fine guest and friend. Maggie, please stick around. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back. The Friday 4 o'clock happy hour, it rolls on.
Have at it.
Those are f***ing fighting words.
bring it? Oh, it's already been brought in. Dom and Croats are the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. If you have not yet downloaded the Devil Radio app, go and do that right now. Google, Apple, find it at your app store. Look for Devil Radio.
Dominic, I wanted to promote this big four-county Democratic Coalition event tomorrow, going on from noon to 6 p.m., City of Berlin at the Riverside Park Shelter. And here's why you want to go. And I'm going to be there. It's going to start at noon, go to about 6 p.m., the best Governor Evers will be there. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, Josh Call, Sarah Godlewski, Janet Bewley, Lena Taylor, Katrina Shanklin, Gary Goyke, Ben Wickler, the DPW chair, above and beyond that, many, many others, including all of the, apparently all of the Supreme Court, senatorial candidates, U.S. senatorial candidates. Damn it.
It's Friday, man. I'm sorry. Let it go.
And we got a fine guest. She's waiting by for me to spit it out. Maggie Dawn, our fine guest. Maggie, let me ask you a little off topic. The president of the United States challenged Joe Biden to a boxing event. Maggie, if you had the opportunity to box any person and get in the ring and punch someone right in the kisser, who would it be? And please don't say
celebrity. Who would you fight?
What celebrity would you box?
I mean, that would be so much fun.
It would be, wouldn't it?
I would whoop his booty.
Who'd you say? I didn't hear.
I said I would whoop his booty. Scott Walker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So you would fight Walker.
On, buddy.
I would put my money on you so quick, Maggie.
I used to run
Thank
track.
Thank you.
He used to run track in high school. Did you hear that?
You know, if you're saying that, like, you are no kind of athlete. I used to run track in high school.
I heard he took third in a meet at Delvin Dairy once.
Wow. Well, color me impressed.
You know, when a guy peeks out as an Eagle Scout, you know, when that is the greatest of your life's accomplishments.
The pinnacle of your achievements.
The apex.
You know who I'd like to box, Maggie? Well, Scott Walker, of course. But in reality, I hope this comes to fruition because I'll do it. Dan O'Donnell. I'd like to punch the big lie right out of his mouth. And I would do something for charity.
Good.
I'd help raise some money for some good cause. But I would suck it up. I'd get in a little better shape. And I would fight Dan O'Donnell. I hope he's listening.
I love it. I'll buy a ticket for sure.
Well, I'll need the moral support. I hope you show up.
You definitely, want Maggie definitely. In your corner. Hey, Maggie Dawn, my understanding, lots of people want to run for mayor of the city of Milwaukee. Ernell Lucas, the current Milwaukee County Sheriff, I understand, has now indicated he wants to run. What's your thought on the candidate pool, and do you think it's going to grow?
That really, I think, depends on if and when Barrett gets confirmed. If he's confirmed by the Senate before the end of the year, there can be the next election to fill his seat would be in the spring. That means that you would have to be a candidate that already has effectively some kind of political war chest, given how quickly you'd have to ramp up a campaign, right? So when I look at in the most recent Journal Sentinel article, you're seeing, you know, Lena Taylor, obviously Sheriff Lucas, Marina Dmitrievich, who's a current alderman, Representative Reamer, and then Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Borowski. He doesn't have a big war chest ready to go. He probably doesn't have a ready to stand up campaign apparatus. You wonder what the campaign war chests of, you know, the Senator Taylor, the alderwoman or the representative are. Ernell's, the sheriff has probably got a fairly significant amount of funds at his disposal. He recently ran, so he can probably stand up a campaign really quickly. I'd put, you know, at this point in the election cycle where it's completely wide open, Ernell would appear to be the front runner for sure.
What if it, Maggie, if the confirmation wouldn't come till after the spring election, does that change your calculus at all? Does it give some of these other candidates perhaps more time to, you know, get their feet?
Yeah, it does. I think if that confirmation takes a while, then you're going to have potentially more people entering the fray because they just have more time to try to solidify some fundraising and get literally the campaign operations up and running. You know, it's the old infamous, I'm forming an exploratory committee. I always love those, which just basically means I'm asking all my rich friends for money.
Maggie, Dawn, why doesn't anybody want to be Tony Evers' lieutenant governor? Why don't we have a field of lieutenant gubernatorial candidates? I mean, Wiz Politics discussed this today. We've got more people saying, I'm not running for this office than are running. I mean, so far, zero people running. Three have said, I'm not running. Sorry about LaTanya Johnson. Apparently, Marcella Nicholson said, I'd have to be urged to run. And Evan Goyke said he's not running either.
Yeah, I think part of what you're seeing, if I can be real frank, is that
no, please lie Evers, to us.
Right? Is that Evers' political future is far from certain, right? He's got a lot of liabilities. He's going to take some massive heat regardless of the ultimate outcome on Foxconn. It doesn't matter that Walker created it. He's going to take heat on his handling of COVID from all sides, right? He's... when you try to please everybody, you often end up pleasing nobody. And that's certainly what Evers has found himself facing. And so I think you see people that don't really want to hitch their political horse to a guy that might lose the next cycle. That's really, I think, the fundamental concern.
Well, if Tony loses, that means probably Rebecca Clayfish wins. And she rolled out her campaign yesterday. And Maggie Dawn, I mean, there was nothing moderate about it. She went full Trumpster, jumped in the deep end of the pool. I got to tell you, I was a little disgusted by her decision. What was your opinion?
Well, this is what happened when people who are on-screen talent and think that simply because they can read a teleprompter, they can govern effectively. We're seeing fewer and fewer candidates of demonstrable integrity and capability running. It's, and that's across the board, not just for Dems, but not just for Republicans, but Dems too. Republicans are certainly the most egregious knuckle dragger offenders on all these points. But yeah, Rebecca, go back to smiling and making nice for the camera. That woman has no business running a state, let alone running a small village or burg. So not a big fan of that. And of course, when you have nothing to say, what do? You basically throw out a bunch of baloney and appeal to the baser instincts. And that's exactly what she's doing.
Thank you, Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. Thank you, Bill Press. He's the godfather of political lefty talk. And thank you to the birthday boy, James Santel, former U.S. attorney. I'll see you at the Ford County event this weekend. Maggie Dawn, have a great day. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Maggie.
Bye, guys.
Fight any celebrity, who would you fight?
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're gonna hear about it.
Let's have trial by combat.
You want a piece of me? You got it!
Have at it.